Welcome back to Dating Games, the Modern Relationships Podcast. I'm your host, Bobby Temps, and I'm so excited to be joined by today's guest. But before we talk about her, I've got to remind you about our Patreon, which is where you can get ad-free extended episodes of every episode, including the kind of debrief chat we have afterwards with the guest. And often that's where some of the most interesting bits come up, when they know that they're behind a paywall. And I've already got in mind something I want to ask our guest today about, but I'm not going to tell her yet. And actually, to do something special, because it's coming up to Christmas and I'm working very hard to feel festive, even though it feels kind of inappropriate, but I'm like, tinsel is kind of all I have some days. So I am going to be giving out Christmas gifts to our Patreon. So if you're there, new or existing Patreons that are there in December, we will reach out to you, find out where to send you a gift. So there you go. Merry Christmas in advance. And now on to our guest. She's an incredible comedian that tours around the UK and indeed at times the world, obviously not at the moment, but she assures me January, February is looking very good. She's going to personally make sure there's a vaccine so that we can get back to her show. So that's the plan. And I've been very lucky to see her perform live before. She's really incredible. Her crowd work is really great. I mean, honestly, could just do crowd work for an hour. Are you being offered food in the background?
My niece is not. Can you sit down? If you finish a bit, just leave it. I don't want it. Just put it on the side.
Ah, lockdown. Pete, leave it in. No. It's real life.
I know. It is. The one day I pick her up from school and what she does.
I mean, it's cute. There's worse things she could be offering you than food, I guess.
That's so true.
But if we haven't
brother,
actually...
It would be the worst thing. That's the thing. If it was her brother, it would be the worst thing. Whatever you could do, just see penis.
As you gestured inside your ear. Okay, well, we're not maybe going to dig into that part of your family dynamic, but instead we need to tell the listeners who you are. So please welcome to the show Tanya Moore with
Yay!
A silent H and everything. I feel like I have to warn you up top as well. With the dyslexia, my brain is trying really hard to make me pronounce that H. So if I accidentally do it, you need to slap me down. You need to tell me off.
Bez, don't worry. It's not your fault. I will tell you off, but it's not your fault. It's my dad's fault. And I blame him for everything. Don't worry yourself.
What? So he named you with a silent H and it's been downhill since?
With a Y and an I, because obviously he hates me. So...
And so we'll start off with your dating story.
Yeah, so I don't know if this is a story about me, for me or anything, but I just remember being on a date and we went to the golfing range and there was a couple next to us who were just arguing, right? And so normally when you see a couple arguing, you follow them, don't you? Because you want to hear all of the argument. So following them around this golfing range and we end up in the rooftop bar. And so we're sitting down. The girl by this point is by herself. The guy's gone, are you back? Oh, okay.
Sorry,
Bez,
I don't
listen,
know what
let
happened.
Me tell you this now. You had the most politest face. You were frozen in the cutest little... You looked like you were still listening.
Oh, dear. Have you already told the whole story now?
No, I haven't told all of it. Only some of it. And I was like, no, wait, that's not... No, he's not moving.
All right. God, Pete, leave that in. Again. I mean, this is very real life to lock down this conversation.
I was like, he's not listening. He's not there. He's not that polite, Tanya. No one's that polite. So I was on this date and this couple were arguing, right? And so I wanted to follow them because I wanted to hear all of the argument. Now I'm invested, right? I want to know what the fucking problem is. And at this point, all I can hear is him saying, you always do this, you get on my fucking nerves, you always do this, you embarrass me. She's drunk half the bar. Wherever they just came from, she drunk half of the bar. Can smell it on her, can see it on her. She doesn't know what's going on. She's like, oh, fuck you, Gary. Right? It's the best thing happening. We go to the rooftop bar. He storms off after this massive argument. She's sitting by herself. So I was like, oh, no, babe, are you alone? Come and sit with us. She comes over and I was like, are you okay? It seems like you're having a rough time. Then she basically word vomits that she can't stand him. They've been together for like 3 years. He's really controlling. He hates when she has a good time, all this stuff. After that, he comes back. They go off. They come back. They're standing by the DJ. It's a female DJ. Standing by the DJ, having a little chat. The bar ends. I said, let me go to the toilet before I go home. I'm getting old now. I can't hold it. Go down into the toilet. She's in there reapplying her lipstick. I was like, oh, are you okay, darling? Is everything better now? She's like, yeah, it's getting better. Drunk as a skunk. I'm going to the toilet, right? And I'm going to the toilet and I can hear, like, kissing. So in my mind, I was like, is that guy coming to the fucking toilet and is now kissing her? I go outside. She's kissing the fucking DJ. And her boyfriend's just standing there waiting for her. It's like,
Well, you got in too deep there. That's what happened. I love the fact that this story started off being relatable as well, because I'm very that person that, like, pauses their headphone, you know, when they hear somebody arguing or the phone call next to you sounds a bit juicy. I tell you, maybe I'm drawing the line before following them around an entire golf club, checking in with them through the, inviting them to the table. Like, you really wanted that story. So you earned
I really this. Did. I'm a comic. What if it was good for me to stay on stage?
Well, you've got story out of it, so...
Got to go with the story, babes. I didn't make the rules. I just followed them.
Follow the rules and every argument you come
across. And the people.
I like that, though. I like that commitment. So you get a point for that. Commitment to the craft. Thank
you. Blew my mind. All right. Cheating on her boyfriend with a DJ. Fantastic.
Wow. Who were you with?
I was with this guy who I don't date anymore, but we were on a date. And that was fine. Our date was pretty regular. We got there. We had a date. We had some food, had some drinks. We went home. Pretty regular. Now, if that couple wasn't there, I don't think I'd have a story for you, babes. My date was rubbish.
If we can dig into your psyche for a moment, though, that kind of speaks to something I think I can relate to, which is, you know, sometimes you are attracted to chaos, like you just anything but boredom, right?
Yeah, but like I like the chaos not to be in my life. I like looking at it from afar.
Okay.
So I want to be on this side of the road and then the chaos is on that side of the road, but I want to still see it and hear it and like know what's going on. I just don't want to be in the chaos.
Good, yeah, I like that. But have you ever had it where in observing the chaos, you've ended up dating the chaos?
Oh, God, yeah. You do that all the time in your 20s, don't you? Ain't that a thing?
You know, you said it so succinctly, I was almost convinced you never did it.
No, always. Oh, my God, yeah, in my 20s, well, I was engaged to somebody whose mum didn't like me so much that she went on a spree to find him a new wife. I just invited people to her house, like a fucking, what do you think of this one? And I'm just sitting there like, oh.
With you there.
27 was fun.
And 27's a dangerous age, the 27 club, that's a risk right there.
That's so true. I mean, if I joined it, we'd all fucking know why, innit?
God, well, I mean, that took a dark turn I wasn't expecting. So, you know.
She was a nightmare. It was hard to be around her. It was really hard to be around her. Like, he was like a mummy's boy. So their relationship was just a little bit too, yeah, it was just too much.
It's tricky that, and the problem I seem to see a lot with friends in that situation is they then find a girl who can stand up to their mum. Right. And I don't even know if it's necessarily that so much as maybe they like a strong-willed, maybe a bit controlling woman. And so they then look for that in girlfriends. But then it means the mum and the girlfriend are locking horns.
Continuously.
And that's crazy. I've luckily never been in that situation. But then maybe it's because no one has ever met my parents officially, ever.
Really?
No.
Whoa. Maybe you haven't found the person yet.
Yeah, I mean, maybe that's it, or maybe it's stuff to do with my parents. I mean, all right, but here's the thing. Here's the thing. If I'm really honest about it, I think a lot of it is I feel like I'm very messy in relationships. And so you'll call me a liar given the podcast I am now hosting, but I historically have not enjoyed talking about relationships because I feel like the turbulence reflects badly on me. And I don't have any good points to make. And obviously, in reflecting on that enough, now I think I do have points to make. I'm still single, so obviously still a process. But
how long have you been single for?
Ooh, I have lost count, but then I have bad memory. So read into that what you will. Put it this way, I've spent most of my adult life single, but also have had a lot of relationships. So a lot of shorter relationships. And so I think part of it where it comes to my parents is because I'm going into, and this is something I obviously need to work on, going into most relationships, knowing the statistical likelihood it's not going to last long. I therefore don't want to drag my family into that and be like, oh, get invested in this person that probably isn't going to be here for that long. You look so shocked.
I'm like, huh?
You also go to counselling, right? You should be used to this level of introspection.
I mean, I do, but wow. Because for me, I think my mum is a very good read of character.
Mm.
So not that I bring them there immediately, but once I get comfortable with them, that's who I want them to meet, because she'll let me know, waste more time or don't.
Interesting.
Yeah, I take what she said because she's never been wrong.
Well, here I was thinking to myself, I'm protecting my parents from it, and now I'm not so sure.
No, let them get invested. It's nice to have them on the roller coaster with you, because then I just feel like you feel like you're alone.
Oh, okay. Well, thank you for that. I'm alone.
Sorry.
That's what we've learned.
This is not how it was supposed to go.
Honestly, what an episode. I mean, so is that the rule of the game this week? Bobby is alone. That's all we've learned.
I feel like I lost my point.
All right, what was our point? I guess so. We were talking a bit about, okay, so I've not experienced drama with parents, but I think that's because I've not really dealt with parents much. Parents that I have met have liked me, which is good, and maybe I've just not been introduced to the ones that would hate me. Maybe that's where it comes in. And so through this kind of turbulence of your 20s and a real range of relationships by the sound of it, what kind of things are you finding are your, how can I put it, is relationship issues too direct?
I do have those. I think it takes me a while to trust.
Mm-hmm.
But then I only have a good time in relationship if I trust you. So there's that grey area, or somebody waiting for me to trust them. And then I don't like sneaky underhandedness. I think it all just comes under the trust umbrella, really. If I can't trust you, I'm not going to feel comfortable. If I'm not comfortable, I'm not my best self. And then it all just ends up in a downward spiral from there. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. And have you had a lot of people
insecure, that... you feel... Oh, God, yeah.
So go on, tell us about someone that's fucked with your trust.
Who can I say? Maybe my last one.
Checks legal notes.
I'm like going through my head like a Rolodex. So embarrassing. Maybe the last one was untrustworthy because I was with him for 2.5 years. And it wasn't until the end that I realized you've been lying to me this whole time, because he told me he was divorced.
Mm.
Wasn't.
Hmm.
So that's fun. 2.5 years.
Wow. That's a long time. But I guess it's one of those secrets. He obviously made some kind of decision that he wasn't going to tell you. And then the longer it
goes,
don't
get me wrong, they're separated. But yeah, this is the thing. They're separated. Don't get me wrong. But at the same time, it's like, tell me that then. Don't tell me a lie. That doesn't even make any sense.
Fascinating what people choose to lie about. I think it can be very telling. So you think to yourself, okay, well, if it's not a big deal, surely you would have told me.
Right. Now, this is why I say it is a big deal. Because towards the end of our relationship, I think... she was getting the feels to kind of like get back into this marriage. Turned into an absolute nightmare. There was like turning up at the house. There was being aggressive to me on social media. And then she scratched my car. So I was like, I'm out, because I shouldn't be dealing with your past in this capacity. It's insane. And if she wants to get back with you, you are still married. Maybe you should think about that. Maybe that's a thing for the family. Who knows? But what I do know is, this shit ain't for me, and I don't trust you anymore. So,
is it just me? But I think you're doomed anyway. Like, I don't want to part in that, because realistically, if you're coming after me as the person's new partner, as opposed to coming after them, who you clearly have issues and unresolved stuff with, I have no confidence you're then going to work through your issues, even if you do get back together. Do you know what I mean?
None.
And I even had a friend that was in something like that, where it got so bad that she separated from him, and it was his previous ex, although there was no marriage involved.
Mm.
And they ended up making friends because they obviously had him in common. And there was a bit of a crossover period, put it that way. There was cheating involved. And you'd think that would turn them against each other. Somehow they ended up being friends.
I think that's maturity, because it's not about the other woman. It's about the man. What lie did he tell to both of us? What did he do to put us in this position? He is the common denominator. So I genuinely feel like being angry at the woman, unless she scratches your car, is a waste of energy.
Yeah.
It's the person that put you in that position that you have to be angry at. So good for them.
You're right. It is mature. And I think that's something that really baffles me about cheating. You know, I'm lucky to not have been cheated on as far as I know. Never say never. But... Yeah. One thing that really baffles me about it is how people can be so suspicious of other people when it comes to suspicions over cheating. Because that's you clearly so true. Don't trust the partner, but then you're getting suspicious of his best friend. And I'm like, babe, if your relationship was so secure, that best friend means nothing.
That's so true.
Oh, have we uncovered somewhere that you've been brainwashed by an ex?
No. I wish. No. I don't like the whole... my best friend's a girl thing, because that just means that you're waiting for her to take you out of the friend zone. So, or she's waiting for you, or vice versa. One of you has feelings for each other, but you're riding this friendship in hopes. That's my view of it. I just don't see it being a thing. Or you've already had your thing, realised it won't be a thing, and now you're friends. Either way, there's been some hickory pokery already, and I just think it's unhealthy for us to all be in the same space together. It doesn't make sense. Because now I'm in a space with my boyfriend, and he's having private jokes with somebody else. How am I supposed to feel in this moment?
I think you've taken that very well, because I realise I've just described something that you've then fessed up to. Yes. You are that person that's suspicious of the friend. It's
definitely
interesting,
I'm
right?
So, like,
But again, it's
best
trust, isn't it?
In
right?
The same bed, like, exactly. So now, a man can or a woman can behave in a way that makes you trust them, even if they do have a best friend of a separate sex.
Mm-hmm.
I just feel like whether it's me or some of my friends, 9 times out of 10,
kind of
have
context
you had that
as well. I think we're possibly the opposite ends of the spectrum, actually, because I am very much the one with loads of close friends of whatever gender, and they will like come stay over and I'll stay at theirs and that kind of stuff.
In the same bed.
Mm-hmm. But then I'm also probably not going to prove your theory wrong, because I'm also someone that has, how can I describe it in a way that doesn't sound clinical? I think I have a high level of tolerance for ambiguity, perhaps. And so I'm good at having what I would describe as intimate friendships, but other people would call fuck buddies. I can sort of handle that mentally, whereas a lot of people, in my personal experience anyway, every time that has ended, it's either been that they've realised the feelings are more than just something casual, or...
Mm-hmm.
It's felt too complicated for them. And they're like, you're my friend, but also this stuff. And so I've been in situations like that and had fun and whatever. And it's been uncomplicated, but it's always been the other person that for whatever reason it didn't work out for.
So interesting.
So I guess I'm not going to prove your theory wrong, but I do have plenty of friends where it is platonic.
Okay. Don't get me wrong. I have friends where it is platonic also, but I just genuinely feel like, that's what happens. You spend too much time with one person, they end up really liking you. There's always going to be one person where this becomes more of a thing.
Well, all right, here we can compromise. I think my theory on it would be that everybody has at least one person in their friend group that is that potential person. Is that one that there's a bit of a spark, there's a bit of a will they, won't they? I think everyone has at least one of those. So yeah, you can definitely be suspicious if you feel they're that kind of person.
Somebody wants you, babes. So yeah, I'm like you. I can separate my feelings from a, what did you call it? An intimate friendship?
Yeah. It sounds a bit more polite.
It does. Also because I don't spend time with them. You come, we do the job, you leave. I don't want to be on the phone asking you how your day was. I don't want to do all the stuff that you would do leading up to a relationship, because that's when you allow the feelings to creep in. Just keep it as it is. Oh, are you busy? No. See you in an hour. Come, do the job, leave. See you later. Don't stay over. Don't hug me. Don't do anything that could, oh my God, could this be? I don't want that.
Get out before they're like the post-coital cuddles, the pheromones saying like.
Yes, yes.
You know what? I think that's a good point. You get a point for that, because.
Yes, come on, 2 points.
I never even count them as well. I don't even know, there's no prize. I don't know how many points is even good at this point. But I think that's really a good way of looking at it that you raised there, because it's removing a lot of the coupley things. Because I think one of the things that I definitely have fallen foul to is that I've made myself boyfriend material. Because I've been around and I've been emotionally supportive and I've, you know, done all the cuddling and we've gone on like days out together. And a lot of this isn't stuff that I wouldn't do with friends. But when there's also a physical element, then it's just almost too many things. And maybe even if that person doesn't develop feelings, maybe I'm still not being entirely fair, because is it going to be easy for someone else to come into their life when they already kind of have a person filling a lot of this role? There we go. Call me out. I guess those situations has been a bit of a compromise where it's generally people that don't live nearby. But I think definitely if it was someone near, I'd have to really watch how much I'm around. Using the internet without ExpressVPN is like going to the bathroom and not closing the door. Some people may be into that or happy for every website they visit to be recorded by your internet service provider, but not us. Instead, I've been using ExpressVPN all year. So how does it work?
Well, disclaimer, I do sometimes go to the loo without shutting the door, but we don't need to tell all the listeners that. You can keep that in, Pete, I don't mind. Anyway... how does it work? ExpressVPN creates a secure encrypted tunnel between your device and the internet, so your online activity can't be seen by anyone. Plus, in a year when we aren't travelling much, you can change the location your internet connection registers as.
Yep, so I'm virtually in New York right now, and I think my phone is in Washington. So I'm really going to confuse anyone trying to track me. So this means I'm able to binge The 100 on American Netflix, one of my favourite TV series, that takes me to other planets and away from the C or B words currently dominating our media. Please join us on this safer and more global internet. Just go to expressvpn.com/dating to get an extra 3 months free on a one-year package. That's expressvpn.com/dating. expressvpn.com/dating. That link's also in the episode description. This is your last chance to redeem this offer, so come get access to more TV, privacy and autonomy this Christmas, and shut the bathroom door, for the love of love. Danielle.
Yeah, how much time you spend with them. I had one that was just like a 5-minute drive away. And he was at my house like 4 or 5 days a week. And after a while, I was like, this is going to turn into something that we don't want, because I don't even think I have boyfriends that I see that often. So I don't know what you're doing. And then there's one that I see used to see, who lives like an hour and a half drive away. Wonderful. Hour and a half drive. It means that even halfway through, I can still change my mind and turn around. Wonderful. If I make it to your house, I definitely want this.
That sounds good. It's quite a commitment as well, though. Did you ever get most of the way there and you're like, wow, I might as well?
I got all the way there one time and stayed for an hour.
I love that.
I just think that if you piss me off and it gets, you know, just puts me in a, you know, don't want to do it situation, why am I staying here? I might as well just leave. And go home and do all this don't want to do it. Yeah. I hope everyone can understand what that is. It's all gone, it's all dry. All the producers have gone, they've left.
I love that you're gesturing like they come out of your head. Disappear into the sky. Just left like a prune on earth.
Yeah.
But you know what? I like that, though. I think there's power in that. A lot of people, and we've talked about it actually recently on the show, the power of saying no. You know, that oftentimes we can convince ourselves that it's like the path of least resistance. And actually, you have the right to withdraw consent at any point. And the best way to do it is family, clearly.
Literally.
So I like that. So I don't know. So maybe for you, that's making the sound effect and they'll get the idea. I think that's pretty clear. I think I know what you mean. So we've talked about so many things. None of them were on my list of what I thought we'd talk about.
Sorry.
No, it's great. I mean, I didn't think we'd be getting into this, but I'm glad we did. And so we've talked a little bit about trust and relationships. I think one thing that's challenging your trust of people career-wise at the moment is how there's kind of an increased focus on what I would describe as diversity spots. So where people are given a job, particularly it can happen a lot in the arts, as a way to kind of appease an appearance of diversity, right? Because so often it's about getting a comic on the stage and there's one black person and then you've ticked the box. It less so seems to be like behind the scenes, like we need someone in the management team at the venue that's not white. You know, it's... When you start to look out for this stuff, you start to see the places are doing it for real and the places that are like, oh, well, you know, 2020, how it is, we've got to be seen to be doing something.
Yes.
And so I've heard you in another interview saying you've been having a lot of calls like that.
Loads. I've had loads of... So it comes in different ways. I've had, I don't want to look racist. And I'm like, babe, just the fact that you typed that and pressed them, technically just sit with it, all right? Sit with it, embrace it, and then fix it. Because who even types that? I don't want to be racist. I don't want to look racist. One comic messaged me and was like, oh, I've just realised that my lineup's really white. Do you mind jumping on? Babes, are you okay in the mind? Did you have too many cucumber sandwiches? I think you need to relax and don't send that to me. It's really offensive. Can you jump on so I don't look racist? I really respected you and I was going to invite you anyway in a couple of weeks, but I just thought, excuse me? So weird. And then you get people who are on Twitter, the most wokest of woke white person.
Mm-hmm.
Just very, oh my God, I hate this injustice. Type. And then you ask them to do something and they just cannot do it. You know, you ask them why. Little things like, I'm still wondering why none of the black comedians have received the list of predator comedians of men that we should be scared of. None of us have received this list. Well, all the white female comics have. It's funny. But these are the same white female comics who are online being like, oh my God, we must stick, we must fight. We must do it. We must. Or little things like they will have secret moments where they only invite their friends to do gigs and do bookings and do jobs and stuff. But they're online being like, we must. And it's just like, babes, you don't do it for social media. Do it in real life, yeah? They will always say, Tanya, you're so funny, but you don't think about me when you're doing booking, babes.
It's crazy. And the lengths people go to not recognise it in themselves. Because the thing that I think a lot of people of colour get really good at is spotting this ingenuineness. And you start to really notice the phrases. And that's why you see things in the news where a particular comment is made and then people get very obsessed over the wording and is it or isn't it offensive? Whereas people of colour have heard phrases like that, like go back home, where are you really from in certain contexts? Mm-hmm. And they know what's behind that. Mm-hmm. And so...
Yeah. And sometimes it's not even the words, it's an energy that you bring. It's the way you look at me, it's the way you approach me, it's your demeanour, it's all of those things. Something as simple as I was in Liverpool a few weeks back doing a gig, and I was in Liverpool, and something as simple as being in McDonald's, right? I'm lying, I was in Glasgow, sorry. And I was in McDonald's, don't judge me, and I was queuing up, and there was three white people ahead of me, and the girl was really polite. Welcome to McDonald's. How can I help you? Da-da-da. And when it got to me, I didn't even get a welcome. She just looked at me and waited for me to order. And I was like, are you not going to welcome me? She's like, what? What did you say? I said, you welcomed the three people in front of me with a big smile and you were very welcoming and nice and you were very bubbly. Now I've come here. You've not even said hello. You're waiting for me to speak. I said, you should have been the same with everybody. Oh, no, it's not that. It's just that. It's just what? So I'm looking at her. She's like, no, it's not that. It's just, you know, yeah, okay, then sorry. And I was just like, wow.
At least it seems like she had some kind of realisation in the moment. But this is what I mean.
I don't think she did. I think when I left, she probably just slagged me off. I don't think she learned anything in that moment at all, to be honest with you.
People are disappointed. And I was saying
it quite loudly because her manager was right there. He was eavesdropping. You could tell he was eavesdropping. Didn't even come and say, are you okay, madam? What's going on? Just left it. And it's those little things. Like, why? We're not allowed in your shop then if you're going to make us come in and fucking feel like shit just for buying a burger. Just say hello. Do you know what I mean? Say welcome.
It's not difficult. But this is the thing. Mm-hmm. It's like the lengths people will go to stay ignorant of it. And that's why that phrase, like, I'm not racist, but if you ever see that at the start of a Facebook post, just report it straight away. Don't bother.
Yeah.
Because...
Or the ones that say, we're not as bad as...
Yeah.
Like, and, babes.
And all it says is you have enough awareness to know this probably isn't okay to say, but you've decided to say it anyway. And for me, yeah, that is so opposite to the concept that I was reading a relationship book actually recently, I should say. And one of the things that came up in it when talking about like gender roles, but also kind of any area that discrimination can exist, was how, yeah, the party that is not dominant has to learn the ways of the dominant party as a survival, yeah, technique. So there's a reason, yeah, why you understand what these phrases mean without anyone having to explain it to you, whereas,
yeah,
white people on the whole have to do a bit of reading.
Yeah, some of them don't want to do that. And that's the saddest bit, is that we could make the world an easier place for all of us if we just get to a place of, you know, a level playing field. But by this hatred staying alive, it makes it hard for everybody to live, including white people. I think it's sad sometimes that some of my white friends don't even know how to look me in the eye sometimes, because they can see that I'm being treated differently and they don't know what to do. I feel sorry for them sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah. You're right. It's a sorry state of affairs for everyone. And a lot of it comes down to the white people don't have the practice. You know, it doesn't necessarily have to be malicious. They're just not used, yeah, to being in a situation where they have to step up. And so maybe, yeah, it's easier to not.
Yeah. And but then it goes to that bit where it's like, by not doing anything, you're complying with the nastiness. Do you know what I mean?
Mm.
And it's like, it's a hard one, because not every battle should you fight. But at the same time, you should stand up for what's right. Do you know what I mean? Oh, look at me, poet. But yeah, you should stand up for what you believe in. So if you believe that I'm being unjustly treated, then say something. It doesn't have to be an argument, but just say something.
Yeah, I mean, something that I really advocate for, and this, okay, we can definitely bring it back to relationships on this point, is
yeah,
acting in a way that's genuine to the situation. Right. So
yeah,
we often feel a reaction, but then we push it down. And so actually it can be as simple as you gasping when someone says something outrageous. And that can be enough of a rebellion. You don't have to have the perfect thing to say. You can just be like, huh? What? Like, that can be enough. And this comes into relationships as well, because I think oftentimes there are issues that come up, and we push them down because we're worried of compromising the relationship, particularly in the dating stage. People can upset, yeah, us all the time in dating, and we think, oh, yeah, I can't confront them with that. That's too harsh. But you can,
yeah,
do it in smaller ways. If they say something, yeah, on a date that's stupid, you can be shocked. You don't have to shout at them. Like, there can be different levels.
Exactly. Have you dated outside your race before?
I have.
Yeah.
And it's been something that I think I have an advantage in because I'm Irish. So I'm used to being other in this country.
Yes.
And in a way, a lot of the kind of very insidious forms of discrimination are the ones that are, yeah, the most relevant to me. So yes, I've, yeah, had, yeah, it where,
because
I've...
back in the day, they put you with us lot, didn't they?
Exactly. No dogs, no blacks, no, yeah, Irish. That was on the
box. No Irish, yeah. Yeah.
And so I tend to get the stuff that's the lower level, but, you know, isn't necessarily less hurtful. Like, sometimes I say I'm Irish to a white person who's British, and I see them look disappointed, you know, and it's stuff like that. It's like, if you haven't experienced that, it's very difficult to relate to. But yeah, it means that, exactly, all the kind of weird, nuanced racism, whilst I'm not experiencing that, I can relate, yeah, to elements of it, and I've always felt very much in the minority camp rather than majority, yes, camp, even though I can look and come across like I'm in the other one.
Yeah. So I mean, I'm scared to do it because I don't want to have to bring, I feel like it's a lot of turmoil and trauma for just to be in love, man. That's a lot of work. A lot of work. I mean, my sister done it. My niece is mixed race, and my brother's children are mixed race. I've got loads of friends, but I just can't buy into the uphill battle just to stay in a relationship. I can't buy into things like my first nephew, when he was born at the christening, unfortunately, his grandma's a little bit racist. So she's kept saying the N-word. When half of the room, it looks like me.
Wow.
Yeah, I can't buy into that. I could not look at my partner knowing that his mum's out there doing the N-word and still look at him with love in my eyes, because I don't know. I can't even articulate it, but I just find it really crazy. And so I struggle to do it. It's like, I just don't want the headache. I don't want it.
And there's a level of not just vulnerability, but such risk that can come with that, that you never know who's got that racist grandma.
Exactly. And I've seen many stories of people taking their partners home and then that turning into a whole thing of, oh, don't worry about her. That's just grandma. And it's like, no, babes, let's worry about her. Let's worry about grandma. She's saying some really crazy stuff and it's not okay just because of her age. It's not okay.
Yeah. And again, it's that appropriateness.
How do you tell someone your grandma's a bitch? How do you say that? you can't really say that. She's a grandma.
But that's the problem. It's not your responsibility to. And that's where it becomes so difficult, I think. So for me, I've been on the much easier side of that, where if I'm dating someone from another racial background, then I'm the one that has the responsibility to learn and to try and understand their experience more. Because for me, I'm still white, you know, I may be Irish, but in many ways, my experience and how the world interacts with me is more similar to the white British population. So it is more on me to learn your experience than on them to learn the experience of somebody living in a majority white country. They know what it's like to be
here.
And so that's something where I guess I'm on the easier side, right? Because I know my responsibility, whereas you're more likely to be on the other side where you think, okay,
exactly,
how can I share my experience with this person and help them understand without it being my problem, their learning?
Yeah, and that's what it is. And not everybody thinks like that. And that's why we're here. But then not everyone's Irish, so they don't get it. But yeah, that's why we're here.
Yeah.
But it sucks. But yeah, when it comes to dating, I do find it hard to... I'd rather just fancy you forever and never tell you if you're a different culture to me.
But it's so interesting because I think particularly when it comes to this topic, people can get strangely over-logical about it. You know, I see a lot of the conversation around interracial dating being like, you can't only stick within your race, you've got to you've got to try things out, you've got to, you know, have you ever dated a black person? I've heard people, you know, talk about, and I'm like, wait, hold on, then we're back in the tick box exercise again. And then what, you date one one black person and then that's you done,
and
you've tried it
on.
That relationship was bad, that rules out an entire race,
and that's it. That's exactly it. You should, I think, I definitely like the idea of people saying date people who you feel that you like. Like, go with that, your emotion more than your brain. Don't think about it. Just go with how you feel, which is great in the moment. But again, if I come to Nan's ass and Nan's telling me, oh, aren't you a lovely coloured girl? It's going to be a problem. I don't want to hear Nan saying that. But at the same time, I don't want Nan to feel uncomfortable because I'm in her house and she doesn't know what to say. Do you know, either way, there's going to be some level of, this space is tense and I don't want to be in a tense space.
Yeah, it's horrible. You know, it makes you want to shrink yourself and be less who you are. And
literally,
I don't think it's possible for that to exist in a healthy relationship.
No.
But that obviously has to be some kind of compromise. And I think a lot of it is a lot less kind of logical than maybe some people try and make it out. So less so, you know, are you going to make the bold and brave decision to date outside your race? Because that is often the horrible way people phrase it. But instead, can we all examine our own biases, which includes everyone, which includes people of colour, also acknowledging their biases that can go the other way or between themselves. And from there, you can build an openness where people that might have somehow been ruled out aren't ruled out anymore.
Yeah.
That maybe is the mature way of doing it, but that takes a lot of personal growth and examining yourself critically. And that's not easy.
It's really not easy. And I don't think as much of us do it that need to do it. I know I do. I do it with therapy. I do it, you know, just personally. I do it via the homework that I get from therapy. But it's not easy. And it sucks looking in the mirror and being like, okay, you were a little bit shit yesterday. It sucks having to do that to yourself sometimes, but you have to.
Yeah.
You just have to. Yeah. So, yeah, that's one of my fears when it comes to dating. Like, I'm just like, I just don't want to go through what it means to be in a multicultural relationship. And sometimes that could be within the black, like Caribbean, African. Sometimes I don't even want to come out being Caribbean. They want to be somebody African, because that brings a whole load of different things as well. Because whilst we're all black, the cultures are still a little bit different.
It's tricky. Odd. You know, it makes me sad to hear you say that. Not just for you, but for the society that created that.
Yeah.
You know, that we are in that place. And yeah, it's such an important conversation to have. And
yeah, I'm at that point now where I'm like, just go for anybody who's British. And that could be anybody. But I feel like there's a level of understanding if you were born and raised here, even if you've got a different culture, there's still a base level that we all went to the same school, received the same education, more or less. You know, we know what the world's like, more or less. Like if you're in London, especially, you know what London's like. You know, there's going to be crime. You're going to hear sirens. It's going to be like, you know, chicken and chip shops open till 2 a.m. There's going to be certain things that are the same for all of us. And that creates a nice little foundation, a nice base level. And then the rest of it is on top. And it's whether you can navigate going through the rest of it, whether you like someone enough to go through the rest of it. Because I have dated outside of my culture. Don't get me wrong. I just find it to be very, 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 very stressful sometimes.
I think you've actually highlighted the answer, though, there, because the way you've described it is finding those similarities so that certain differences, and this doesn't just have to be race, this could be religion, this could be where you are socioeconomically, this could be any number of things, but if you can find the similarities and there's enough of them that there's a good relationship to be had with this person, then these things should be able to kind of fade into insignificance. And maybe that's the ideal.
And then just never meet their man. And then that way you'll be fine.
But yeah, it's tricky. And
yeah.
But no, I love the way you've described that. So another point. 3 points.
Yay. I'm smashing points.
Oh, I wish there was a prize for you now. Maybe I need to send you some merch.
The prize is winning the points.
Yeah, put it on your CV. Boom. Bobby gave me 3 points.
I just said 4. I added 1.
Sure, you could have it. Why not? Now to talk about a brand bringing us joy and nourishment this festive season. HelloFresh delivers all you need to create delicious meals from scratch so you spend less time in the packed supermarket. With seasonal ingredients and step-by-step recipe cards all delivered straight to your door.
It's been great to get my family involved, and you can choose from a selection of 30 recipes every week. Plus, the clear instructions and pre-portioned ingredients mean many of the recipes are on the table in just 20 minutes.
This is actually the last chance for our gamers to get 50% off your first HelloFresh box and a third off the next 3 with our code DATING. Just go to hellofresh.co.uk and enter the code DATING to redeem this offer. That's hellofresh.co.uk with code DATING. With code DATING. Even if you just try it once, it'll give you something straightforward to do in this ever hectic time of year. We totally recommend and already have friends taking advantage of this offer. HelloFresh, eat better food. Not their tagline, but maybe it should be. And so do you feel like, just to kind of start wrapping up this part of the conversation, with the time that we're in and, you know, the stressful year and renewed conversations around race, which I feel has been one upside of the whole experience, do you feel like there's a danger of people looking to date diversely for the wrong reasons? So less about being open and more about not seeming racist?
Recently, I think there's a plethora of people who are doing stuff to not look racist. And then there's also, and it's hard, the only reason why I'm mad about that is because those who are genuinely not racist sometimes get roped into that. And it's not fair for them because their behaviour was the same pre this whole George Floyd moment. And so they're just moving accordingly as they would do. They wake up, as they wake up and they breathe, that's how they are not racist, right? They just see people as people and accept them as they come, right? And then you've got the ones that see that behavior and try and copy it. And then you've got the ones that are like, Tanya, I'm listening and I'm reading and I'm learning. Tell me more about BAME, people. And I was like, if you're reading, you wouldn't have said BAME, babes. Yeah, stop lying. Okay. And then you've got the ones who are like, don't know what to say around you because they know every other word they normally use is probably racist, right? So there's like levels of these people. I just feel sorry for the ones who are genuinely not racist in this moment, because it must be really, I mean, a lot of my friends are really angry right now because they're just not getting through to some family members and friends. They are watching some family members and friends pretend to be not racist. Like, they're just going through a whole thing of their own. And I also feel sorry for them because sometimes they feel uncomfortable to even discuss how angry they are, because they then feel like, you've been dealing with this all your life and it's really unfair of me to make it about me. And it's like, no, babes, in this moment, it is about you, because you're still trying to help. You're still trying to do the good works. You know what I mean? You're still like a gladiator. I just feel really sad for people who genuinely aren't racist in this time. I really do. As a Black person, when you take away all the stuff that we're dealing with, I genuinely feel sorry for all of my friends and peers who genuinely have been awesome towards me, and I can see the purity in their hearts right now. Some of them have even been called out online, and it's like, babes, this person has been down for the cause before the cause was even
you got the wrong one
fashion. Do you know what I mean? Yeah, it's like, before the cause was about the newest jumper, she was down, she was sewing, she was doing the most. Do you know what I mean? So I don't know, I just, it's a tough time. I get a lot of inboxes from white men and how sexy I am. That's always fun.
So has that increased recently?
It's increased. I'm a sexy piece of chocolate, apparently.
Oh, well, that's...
Oh, God. Yeah! Tastes piece of chocolate.
Okay, I give you a dare, though. The next one that comes through saying that, you need to tell them, oh, you're a sexy piece of white chocolate, and see how badly they react, because they won't like it.
I might say milk. I might even say milk. Sexy flow of milk. I think it's... It's terrible. I've been called sex piece chocolate. I bet you're spicy. Is that even a thing? What are you going to do? Lick my face and taste pepper? Like, what are you going to do? Is that even a sentence? You're spicy. What? I don't even like pepper.
But anyway. It's crazy. But it's obviously, to me, I hear something like that and I'm like, that person just wanted to say black. And they tried to find a different word. It's like when people say urban, and I know what they mean.
Or sassy. I hate the sassy.
I've lived in a city all my life. Nobody's ever called me urban.
Babes. And it's the way that they get round their stereotypes. And I hate that whole thing of sassy, because sassy just means a stereotyped black woman. Somebody who's angry and quite rude and quite, you know what I mean? Unmanageable, almost, which is how they describe black women, which is... fucking disgusting, but it's a thing.
Yeah, it's a
also,
crazy
I must
time.
Say, because I mean, I think some of the listeners will be mindful that we have mentioned that my niece is here and I've been swearing, but she's got coat clears. She's taken them off. She can't hear a thing I'm fucking saying.
Oh, that's kind of handy, I guess.
That's why I've been free with it. Fuck.
Okay. Well, you still can.
Yeah, exactly. She's gonna put them on soon.
So we were talking about racism and dating,
and just the injustice of the right people feeling uncomfortable for the wrong reasons. Do you know what I mean? That's what upsets me during this whole era, because the racism, I've been dealing with that all my life. That doesn't upset me anymore the way it used to when I was younger. It's sad to say it more rolls off my back more so than it does penetrate me. My upset in this moment is for the real gladiators who are being attacked constantly, or who aren't being listened to, who aren't being believed. That's where a lot of my frustration comes from at the moment.
Yeah, I get that. And I think that's also a very open-hearted way of looking at it, you know, to be empathising with the people that are really trying and trying to build them up.
Yeah.
Because I think it's, you know, it's so important. We can't really fall into a trap of going too far down the kind of line of white people this, white people that, because we're not really going to move on. We're trying to get away from that. So it's a really tricky one. And, you know, Akala, the rapper and historian who I really love, he's got in his book, he mentions, oh, look at me telling you about a book I've read on racism. Anyway, we're going to lean into it.
No, this is good. But this is, do you know what? This is exactly the point that I was making earlier. Why can't you?
Yeah, so now I'm getting self-conscious because of,
you see what I mean? You've read the book. Exactly. You've read the book and you want to quote it. You should be allowed to. And it's the fact that we're making it like a black book, white book, this book. It's just a book. Quote it, babes. If you've read it and it's relevant to this conversation, quote it. Don't feel awkward at all. And that's the bit that I was talking about. I feel really bad for people like you who want to do something and then you're like, oh shit, no, wait, hold on, wait, oh wait, wait, wait. And there's like this rabbit hole you go down of, oh, can I do it? Can I not? Oh my God, is this offensive? It's just like, babes, if it's a real thing, just be honest with it.
You know what, you're right, because it's such a trap otherwise, because I am not equipped to have the answer or the perfect point about racism. I don't think anybody is, but you know, we do our best. So yeah, Akala talks about in his writing racialized groups, and I really love that wording. So rather than talking about people that are black, he talks about people that are racialized as black, so they are seen as black. And I think that's a better way of looking at it as well, because then we can get into the nuance of talking about America's first black president. He's racialized as black. His mum's white, you know, and so there's there's levels of colorism that can exist and ideas of being black, but not too black, and all this kind of insidious stuff that can get ignored.
Because remember, when we God divide made human race, not races, he made human race. He made us as all. We've all got legs, arms, heads, feet, you know, gentle. He made human race. It's the nasty people that came onto the earth and decided to divide us and make it a hateful thing. We're just all humans at the end of the day, trying to get from A to B. We're all trying to do the same thing every day. The fact that you make mine worse because my skin turns a little bit darker is what makes you an asshole. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah. Absolutely. Give the problems to the problematic people. I think that's a good place to start wrapping up. So,
yay!
Rules of the game then. What have we got? Do you have a rule of dating you try and live by? We've covered
We have covered a lot. But okay, so for me, I have deal breakers. And the older I get, the less I bend on them. And the happier I am in the dating scenario as a result. So if there's any one piece of advice I would give, I'd say create your wall breakers and do not leave them. Hold on to them. You create them for a reason. Be realistic when you're creating them. Like, don't be like, I want a guy who's like 6'2" and a half, who's got like half a stubble. Don't be silly. I'm just saying, create some wall breakers and don't leave them. When I stay strong to my wall breakers, I have the best time ever.
Yeah, I really like that. And I think I would add to that, to not be a kind of what I would describe as a relationship martyr, because I think that's come up a little bit today. And it's something I've definitely done a lot in the past, where I've gone for people because I thought, wouldn't it be great if I could make this work? I've gone into really unlikely situations that I almost certainly shouldn't have, because I was like, this is tricky, but I can make it work. I take it as some kind of personal challenge, and then I maybe ignore the person that's a much easier, more obvious fit, but I don't know what it is. Are they less intriguing or dangerous? You know, I'm still figuring out what it is that attracts me
to that. Interesting. But that's my one rule: do not leave your wall breakers.
Yeah, well, those kind of go between, right? So I could take your one and I could think, okay, well, let's rule out some relationships I've been in the past and think, what was the bad thing of that one? Let's not do that one again. That's going to be a deal breaker.
That's going to be the one, yeah.
Cool. All right, we will wrap up there then. Brilliant. Thank you so much for joining me.
No, thank you. I've enjoyed it.
And we'll be back in a minute as well for the brief Patreon bit. And I have an experience of... Well, I was about to say meeting you, not really. You talked to me and my flatmate in one of your shows and had a good chat with us. So,
Oh my God, was that a Country Mile?
No, I don't think so. What white person did you confuse me with?
That is so funny.
So I'm going to tell you...
That was good! Where was the gig? I want to know now.
I'm going to tell you in a minute. Don't worry. We'll see if you remember. It's not a trick. You don't have to.
That is brilliant.
God, we have to wrap up and instead I've just killed you. All right. Well, thank you for being here.
Sorry.
Find her on all her social media, Tanya with a H, remember. Brilliant comedian. 2021 is going to be her year. She's sorting out the vaccine. Boom. End of the show.
Thank you so much.
Thank you for listening. For more content, including extended ad-free episodes, you can join our Patreon, linked in the episode description. Our show is edited and produced by Pete Murta, with music by the brilliant Tessa Violet. Speak to you next Friday.